Today's scripture passage comes from Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3, and Philippians 4, verse 8. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things."
Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. We thank you that you are our sustenance, that you are our peace, that you are our rest. And Lord, today, as we are resting in you, as we are setting apart this day for you, may you help us to set our hearts, our minds, all that we are, on who you are. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you just speak through me. Help me to not just simply speak on my own opinion, but help me to speak led by your grace. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, my friend is into computer science, and I don't know why. It seems like a very difficult field. You know, you need to look at code all day long and find out problems and stuff, and I admire him greatly that he can do such things. But one thing that, you know, he would mention once in a while is this familiar term. I don't know if you've ever heard this. It's called garbage in, garbage out. Have you heard of this term? It's kind of, you know, we always like to blame the computer for what's going on, but it's really like, well, what do you put into it? That's what you're going to get out of it. And that's kind of an important sort of concept that he would point out a lot. And I was thinking, you know, this applies a lot in our lives, garbage in, garbage out. You know, we kind of blame certain circumstances and certain things in our life, but really it just comes down to, well, what did you put into your life? You know, when we look at, like, what's coming out of our lives, we don't like it, and we complain about all sorts of things, but really, you know, garbage in, garbage out. For instance, I have a little confession to make. I'm an avid supporter of Ben's Chili Bowl. And, you know, and there are some days when I have it, and I'm just thinking, like, why is my stomach feel, like, so upset at me? And, you know, it's pretty clear. It's like, Sam, man does not live by Ben's Chili Bowl alone. You must eat vegetables or things with nutritional content. But the thing is, I'm eating this and I think, no, this surely must be from God. It tastes so good. And, you know, when we are in heaven, I'm sure there will be a little Ben's Chili Bowl stand somewhere. If not, I will request it for sure. But did you guys notice, like, when we put these things in, you know, what comes out of our life? And as a result, we can also look at the behaviors and the attitudes that we have in our life. And it might be good to ask, well, if these things are coming out, what has been coming into our life? And why am I asking this? You know, I was actually going to be preaching about something different, but I felt like God was really convicting me this week because I had just preached on resting. And I felt, you know, I had gone through a really difficult time. And why I was preaching about rest and Sabbath was because I recognized the importance of the spiritual discipline of rest. But I'd be remiss to talk about, in our rest, we must be very wise and careful of, like, what comes into our life when we rest. Because what I was sharing with my discipleship group on Tuesday is that often after a period of great activity, you know, have you ever felt this? You're completely spent and you're empty. You just feel really emptied out. And what often happens when you're empty, I told my group, my discipleship class, is that you become like a spiritual vacuum. And a spiritual vacuum will just kind of, as you know, I don't know for you science folks, it's a negative pressure. And then anything around it will just, it'll suck in whatever is around it because it's a vacuum. And often we must be very careful after those times where we've really emptied ourselves, you know, and then we retreat into rest. We're kind of like this empty vacuum. And at that point, you need to ask yourself, well, when you're a vacuum, what are you going to fill that vacuum with? You know, many times we go on a vacation and we don't feel rested because we come to this vacation like completely battered, bruised, and empty. And what do we fill ourselves with during that time? Like, what practices? What do we see? What do we hear? And then we walk out of that rest, and we don't feel rested at all. Because during that rest, we haven't filled ourselves with good things. And what Colossians is saying here, where Christ is, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated. And whatever we fill our minds with will show its effect in our spirit and our entire lives. You know, it is kind of something to think about, too. Have you ever noticed that, like, the things that we're constantly doing, the things that we're putting into our life, it keeps haunting us? In kind of a more whimsical sort of analogy, I say this was trepidation. I'm using Rhea in a sermon analogy, so don't hold this against her. But anyways, I don't know if you guys remember this, but like the game Tetris, do you guys remember that? And those little mind games and stuff. I thought I was pretty good at it. When it first came out, I was like, well, this game doesn't look very challenging. You just move these falling blocks into place. It's like a little video game. It's fun. And so I started playing it, and I remember at night, I closed my eyes, and sure enough, I'd see these falling blocks. Has anyone experienced this? Like, I've talked to people who have done, like, online games, and they've been on there for hours, and they close their eyes, and like, wow, I see StarCraft when I sleep. And I remember once I was kissing Rhea goodnight, and she closed her eyes to just kiss me, and she went, wow, I saw bejeweled pieces, like, floating before my eyes. And I was like, hello, you know, I'm trying to show some affection, and, you know, it was tough. But anyways, have we ever felt like that, where we're, like, kind of in a spiritual place, where we're at church, and we're just here to engage with the living God and to just meet with God? We've closed our eyes, and the equivalent of, like, floating Tetris pieces are distracting us. Have you ever felt like you're kind of trying to be engaged with something, but all you can think of are these kind of images from somewhere else, whether they be good or bad, and they're distracting us? Which brings me to today. If I didn't call it setting your heart on things above, I was tempted to call this message what is your spiritual diet? And so that's what I want to ask us today. What kind of things have you been taking into your soul? What has been your spiritual diet? And what do I mean by that? How have you been feeding your mind and your soul and your spirit? And you know, a good way to check your diet is to consider the fruits of your life. You know, just like I was talking about Ben's chili bowl. You know, like, I'm sure you guys have a lot of wonderful gastrointestinal stories from Roy. I remember when he used to preach, I guess he gave very graphic illustrations. So if you want one, maybe you can just go to him. But I lack that expertise, so you can ask him about that. But you might want to ask, you know, what things have been coming out of your life? Bitterness, frustration, confusion? You know, you're constantly, like, forgetting things, or you're constantly busy, burdened? It might be worth thinking, well, what are you feeding into your life? What are you feeding yourself? What has been the result of your current spiritual diet? And a good way to check is this. Ask yourself, how have I been treating others? How have I been treating myself? What have I been setting as my priorities as of late? What values are shown by the goals I've set? You might also want to ask, when I'm alone with my thoughts, what are my thoughts constantly drawn to? What kind of behaviors am I exhibiting in my life? These are all kind of fruits of your life. And a good thing to ask yourself is, like, what have I been taking in? I have a little insert in the bulletin, and you might, you know, if something comes to mind that's poignant right now, you might want to just write it down and investigate it later in the week. You know, often we kind of come to church and we wonder, like, why am I so dissatisfied? Why am I so uneasy about things? Why is it that I'm so distracted? Why am I so tempted by things? And you might want to ask, well, what kind of things have you been feeding into your mind and your soul? In your spirit. And I want to say, as one who thinks a lot, thinks too much at times, you know, the mind can be a real battlefield. What kind of thoughts have you been feeding into your mind? What kind of images? You know, in a day and age with the internet, with media, multimedia, multisensory things constantly bombarding us, Have we been filtering? Have we been discerning? Have we been wise about what we take into ourselves? And that's exactly what Paul was trying to get at in Colossians. And he says this in Philippians as well. In Philippians chapter 4, he's trying to sum up his whole teaching. And essentially, in Philippians, what's been going on in Paul's life is that he's been suffering persecution. He's been suffering great difficulties preaching the gospel. But what does Paul say? He says, you know what? I don't consider any of that of worth. It doesn't matter to me. You know what? I have a lot of qualifications in this world. And yes, I'm in jail and people are ridiculing me and throwing me aside. But the thing is, I just throw that behind. I'm forgetting what's behind and looking forward. He had such resolve and such vision. In fact, even in prison, he told people, you know what? I want you to rejoice in the Lord. I want you to rejoice in the Lord because I know this. I know that when I give up my prayers in thanksgiving, a peace of God just falls upon me. He said that I know I can do all things because Christ is strengthening me. How did he have such resolve? And we look at people like Paul, and I look at a letter like Philippians, and I think, like, wow, I'm so far away from Philippians. I'm just not like Paul. Paul was so virtuous. He was so great. But you know what? I don't think it was so much that he was just a strong person. I think he was a man who had a discipline of his thoughts, because you read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, that we just read. Finally, brothers, he's trying to sum up something. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And you know, I think a lot of the key to what gave Paul such resolve and such focus in his spiritual walk was that he was one who was careful about what came into his spirit and his soul. He was mindful to think on things above, not things below. You know, one thing that was really discouraging, and you know, I'm sharing honestly, is that I remember my break. You know, I had just preached to you guys last week about the importance of having a good rest, and I had a good rest because I was very tired. But I didn't take that time to set my mind on things above. And it ended up just being a wasted day for me. And I didn't feel replenished in my spirit. And I realized, you know, when we rest, when we find our rest in God, we must also set our hearts on something. Because sadly, the human spirit, left to its own devices, we usually kind of hover our minds and our spirits to darker places, not to things above, to lower places. And so what I want to kind of suggest today are three things that maybe we could set our hearts upon. True things, honorable things, and beautiful things. And I'm kind of grouping these things together. I would love to actually preach on all of them, but, you know, time does not permit. And so I will graciously try and sum them into three categories that I saw. And the first thing, before I get into that, I want to ask you, before I get into these three things, in your life, what is grabbing your attention the most right now? What is grabbing your attention the most? What kind of things are you seeing the most right now? What is filling your thoughts the most right now? And now once you kind of get a sense of that, I don't want you to overthink that thing. As you kind of consider that, I want you to kind of put this against the biblical model of what we are to set our hearts and things upon. And as I talk about these things, obviously we're all very different here. This is a very diverse congregation. But if there's something that maybe stands out in particular to you, that, man, this is something I need to be thinking about a lot more or taking into my spiritual diet a lot more, I encourage you to really actively, like, pursue it this week. You know, if it requires maybe even just writing it really quick right here as you're sitting. You know, don't do too many things, because then what you're going to do is you're not going to do any of them. But try and do something that is realistic and just you can really grab onto. And the first thing I'd like to say is probably the most important one to me, is that you must focus on true things. And what do I mean by true things? I mean things beyond just simply like truth. Truth is the obvious one. But I want to say God's word and his promises. On purpose, for the call to worship, there's a very honest question that the psalmist gives. He says, how can a man keep his way pure? And it says, in particular for our younger folks, how can a young man keep his way pure? You know, just teaching a lot of young people in the past, you know, there's a lot of distractions. You go to school, a lot of distractions. We live in a day and age where, you know, you have mobile devices that can just tell you so many things. You can fill your mind so often with distractions. And the psalmist is saying, how can I keep my way pure? He says, by meditating on your law day and night. And you know, my dad would drill this into me constantly. He'd tell me to think on the word daily. Think on the word. Let it fill your thoughts and your imaginations. So when you enter into circumstances, your reflex is not to your previous thoughts, but your reflex is turn to the word that has filled your mind and your thoughts. There really is something to about memorizing Scripture, becoming familiar with Scripture, that once you, because, you know, when you come into these difficult circumstances, you're not going to think, oh, what Bible verse would be appropriate for this? You know, when crisis happens, you think about the thing that is most immediate to your mind. So if your mind is filled with certain subjects and certain topics, those are the things that will bubble to the surface automatically. But do we have a spiritual discipline in our life where we fill our mind and imagination with the Scripture? You know, currently, Rhea and I are on this, like, Bible reading plan. And, you know, some days I admit, you know, it's tough to read through. I'm like, and blah, 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 begat, blah, 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 begat. I'm like, oh, wow, this is going to be a tough one. I admit it. You know, I've been studying the Word for a long time. But you know what? I realize the value of doing this daily, just reading Scripture, is that it begins to fill your mind and begins to give you a different framework, something to refer to. Because in this world, I'll tell you, there's a lot of places where untruth will be spoken to you. A lot of places where things that are not true, things that will confuse, will be spoken. You know, a lot of people in the church are very confused about their identity as who they are as God's children. And a lot of that happens because we don't have an awareness of truth. We don't fill our minds with true things. Do we have a place to think on the things of God rather than the things of the world, of who he is and what he's done? To remember the promises that he has of faithfulness. When crisis comes, do we come back to truth or do we come back to our own personal opinions? You know, I'm not saying that doubts and questions are a bad thing. And in fact, if you want to get to deeper truth, questioning is important. But it is important, even in the journey of doubt and questions, that we have these safe harbors of truth that we can come back to. Do we have places that we think and fill ourselves with true things? The second thing that I want to talk about is, do we have places that we fill our life with honorable things? And it is amazing how quickly our mind and our spiritual lives can be polluted when we think on things of bitterness. Has there been someone who has wronged you? Does that fill your thoughts often? Perhaps it's a friend who's hurt you in a deep way, and perhaps even rightfully hurt you. But have you noticed when you meditate on these kind of frustrations, they sort of meditate on you? I've met people for years, sometimes even decades, you meet people who have had deep-seated hatred, deep-seated grudges to their family. It doesn't just simply correct itself. It happens somewhere. In fact, Hebrews says, don't let any bitter root grow up among you. And I think it's a very appropriate analogy because often our bitter thoughts, these darker thoughts towards people, they can often make a like roots within our hearts and they just grow trees and forests within our lives. And often, do we have a place where we can kind of say no to these kind of thoughts? You can't just simply resist them. A lot of ways that we resist these kind of difficult thoughts is that we fill our hearts and minds with honorable things. As we read in Philippians, noble, right, and pure thoughts. is there a place in our life where we fill our thoughts rather than thoughts of like resentment, but we fill our thoughts with thoughts of blessing? Just this weekend, I was thinking of a group of people that I really disagreed with. And I was thinking like, oh man, those people, And I felt like God really convicted me. He said, you know what, Sam, why don't you just try and think blessings upon them? And then as I thought blessings upon them, I just noticed I naturally started to pray for them. Not prayers of like, God, I hope they get what's coming to them. But it was like, God, I sincerely pray a blessing upon them, that they may see who you are. You know, a lot of times people say like, you know, to resist temptation, to resist evil practices, you know, just don't do them. There was this great campaign in the 80s that says, just say no to drugs, just say no. And you know what? When people evaluated that campaign, they realized it was a disastrous campaign. Do you know why? It's because when you keep saying no to things, you think about the thing you're supposed to say no to. What do I mean by this? I mean, I say this very easily with like young people. Okay, whatever you do, everyone in this room, please don't think about a pink elephant. Whatever you do, no pink elephant, okay? Because clear your thoughts, no pink elephant. What is everyone thinking about right now? A pink elephant, right? You see, often, this is our approach to like trying to resist negative thoughts. But do you fill your thoughts with good things? When temptations come, do you have something that you can think about that is noble, right, and pure? Do you have something good that you can turn to? And often, a lot of us, when we have these negative things coming out of our lives, it might be worth questioning, what things are we meditating upon? Are we setting our hearts and minds on things above? And the last thing I want to say was, are we setting our hearts and minds on beautiful things? As Philippians says, lovely and admirable. And this is kind of something I don't hear very often in the pulpit. But do we have places where we fill our hearts with lovely and admirable things? Because I really do believe that beauty is an important part of our life. In fact, this is kind of an area of philosophy that I'm very interested in, the area of aesthetics, the philosophy of beautiful things. Because all of our life needs to be filled with things that are beautiful, because our God is a creator God who creates beautiful things. In fact, we read in Genesis that as he created each beautiful thing of creation, he would say enthusiastically, it's great, it's good, it's good. Do we have in our lives a place where we look at beautiful things? You know, I want to challenge some of the younger folks. You know, a lot of our intake is like kind of these kind of digital synthetic things, the internet, you know, video games. And I mean, those aren't bad. You're thinking, wow, this game is amazing. It's beautiful. Wow, StarCraft II, beautiful, right? But I do want to kind of, they did a study saying that we're living in a day and age where we're continuing to remove ourselves from things of nature. And it might actually, some scientists are theorizing that it might be hindering our development as people. Do we have the downtime? Because we're constantly filling up now, like when we're standing in line, we kind of look at our mobile phones and like we look at the internet, we look at Twitter feeds, we look at Facebook feeds. We look at all of these kind of things to continually fill up our spare time that our mind doesn't have this downtime to process anything. And as a result, people are saying like we're living in this day and age where we're seeing more and more people like forgetting things. They can't stay focused on anything. They can't like remain committed to any task. And it comes out in spiritual sense too. Our churches have such like short attention spans for any serious spiritual conviction because we're looking for that next great thing. But do we have a place where we just step back and look at beautiful things? And obviously the most beautiful thing is like just seeing who God is in worship. But even nature, do you have a place where you fill yourself and fill your heart with music, with art? To deny yourself of beautiful things makes your soul dry up inside. You know, it's in beautiful things that our hearts and minds are expanded to transcendent things. I went to this concert, and it was not a Christian concert, but I looked around myself, and I saw all these people with their eyes closed and their hands raised. And I was like, wow, how about that? What I really felt in that moment when I saw that concert was that they were sensing that there was something more to their life. And that's what art does. You know, I was just so amazed when I was when I went to the Holocaust Museum, that in the midst of great tragedy, when they were all in these like concentration camps, the Jewish community started making art. You know, there's something about our spirits. What I'm reading right now in Exodus is a little difficult. It's about building, you know, the temple, and like here's all the requirements for the dimensions of it. But you know, what I've been really impressed by is that God was concerned with beautiful things. He wanted to make beautiful things. There's very much something in our heart, in our lives. If we're not looking at beautiful things, our imaginations are very narrow. And the possibility of what God can do in our life is very narrow. It's often, that's why we sing music in church, that we expand our hearts with beautiful things. My father, he often makes a commitment that he would always do his devotions outside. And you know, growing up in Canada, in Edmonton, it gets really cold. You know, it's like minus 20 below freezing, and I'm talking Celsius here as a Canadian. And so what he'd do is like he'd suit himself up in this huge parka, and like he'd have these like headphones on, and he'd listen to like Christian gospel music, and he'd head out like this abominable snowman, and he'd walk around for an hour. And I was just thinking like, wow, he's nuts. But why would he do that? He says like, I see God when I see beautiful things. In nature, he would read the word, and he'd hear this gospel music, and his spirit would be lifted. And yet when he stays indoors too long, he gets really cranky and upset. And you know, many of us don't get out and enjoy God's creation. And as a result, our hearts, when we come to the word, is very narrow. We don't know what inspiration really means anymore. Beauty increases the size of our world, and it invites the great creator God to create even more beautiful things in us. And why am I saying all of these things? If you will, this is kind of like another third part of spiritual warfare, if you will. One of the greatest battlefields we have is in the mind. And I want to ask people today is like, what are you putting into your minds today? What are you putting into your spirits and your hearts? If you put in garbage, then surely garbage will come out. Will you put in true things of God's word? Then things of God's word will come out. Put in honorable things and watch noble, right, and pure things come out. Put in beautiful things and watch the lovely and admirable things of God come out. What is your spiritual diet? As much as I'd like to admit, you know, burgers are wonderful, you know, and I'm a big fan of burgers too. I wish you could just eat them all the time, you know. I wish it could somehow just magically disappear once it hits. You know, last night I went to Korean food, and I'm still feeling it. I'm like, I ate so much, I'm just, wow, I'm still full. And I wish there could be like this kind of like interdimensional portal or something in my stomach. Just, boom, just disappears. But that's not the truth. What comes into us eventually must come out. Ew. Anyways. Sorry, bad analogy. But I did want to say, what is your spiritual health? Thank you. It's like, da-da-dum, bah, okay. Anyways, this is a very lively service today, as you can see. But I did want to say, a lot of the difficulty in my discipleship class, we often talk about, it's so hard to think on Christ. It's so hard to be a Christian. It's so hard to do this and that. And it might be worth asking, you know, is it really that hard? Is it hard to be like Paul? Yeah, it is, but how could Paul do what he did? We read in Philippians chapter 4, he gave the final advice. Finally, brothers, whatever is good, whatever is beautiful, whatever is honorable, whatever is true, feed yourself with these things. And watch how the reality of Christ becomes more real in our lives. Watch how it emerges in all that we do and say. For his glory. Amen. Let's pray. So Lord God, today we want to ask that you would fill our hearts with good things, with true things, with honorable things, with beautiful things, so that you may be glorified in us. Lord God, we ask that you would pull us away from the things of the world and the meditations that continually drag us down. And would you help us to set our heart on things above where Christ is seated. For your glory, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.